Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you very much. I'm speaking to Eric Stirpy. That's how you pronounce your
Sturpy, yeah.
last name, also known as @Stirpicus on Twitter. And you've probably heard his voice on my little mini documentary that I put out a few months back. He had submitted some audio about stuttering on your name. So right now, actually, I should probably explain that you are an animation student at the moment. And
Yes.
yes, yes, it's I find that very interesting because way back when I was quote unquote an animation student, 3D computer animation, but that didn't go anywhere. So, kind of living vicariously through Eric. Let's first talk about your internship at Disney.
Okay. The internship at Disney was an interesting experience because I kind of did the whole tactic of getting whatever foot in the door that I was able to, and so I took the first position I was able to find, which was actually in marketing, which was a very interesting experience because I don't really know anything about the corporate or business world, and so it was very interesting for me trying to fit in with all these people who were all, wearing suits every day and stuff like that. And here's me, I'm an art student, trying to fit in and really learn really quickly all these acronyms and CEO, CFO, CIO, CEO. It was a lot to learn, and it was a valuable experience. Nothing, I don't think I'd do it again. But I am glad I had the experience, and it did. It act The one thing that was really valuable was it helped me to meet people who are hopefully who I can hopefully go on to have other better positions with in the future. Like one thing that was amazing was I got to meet and have lunch with the animator. The animator Andreas Deja, who's an absolutely legendary Disney animator. He was the animator behind Jafar and Scar and all these other great animated characters from the 90s. And so he and I got to have lunch together, which was amazing. And yeah, so that was really cool. And
Keep in touch.
definitely, so I got to meet all sorts of interesting people. It was a great, it was a great networking opportunity. So that was really cool. And I'm hopefully, I don't know, but I'm hoping to be able to intern for Disney again in a department more related to what I want to be doing. So we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, has your stuttering been a challenge throughout this internship from trying to get the internship during?
It's always definitely a scary thing going in for, say, an interview or something like that. And it's also definitely difficult. One thing in particular that was hard for me this summer with the internship was my position involved a lot of talking on the phone, and I have a very hard time with phones. That's definitely my biggest stumbling block. My biggest stumbling block still, and so to have to do a lot of talking on the phone was very exhausting on a daily basis, and there would be days it would be really hard. But that's really been the only time so far I've really had it getting, really had it become, I guess, an obstacle in professionally speaking. But yeah, so that was interesting.
With your experience this time around, I guess you're more prepared for the next time that you're going to try and get an internship.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely learned a lot about how to. Well, one thing that was a big learning experience was I was interacting and talking with people on a daily basis who I'd never met before, which was new for me because usually I spend, weeks at a time just talking to the same people over and over and over again, people I already know. And so they're people who are already used to my stutter and my speech patterns and things like that. And so they essentially just kind of, kind of washes over them, and they just don't even really notice it anymore. And so over the first time, I was really meeting people on a you know, like meeting people over and over again, day after day, new people I'd never talked to before. And so it was really a good way for me to learn what it's like, you know, that whole idea of self-advertising and, you know, a lot of other concepts I hadn't really had to think about before. And so that was definitely interesting.
Yeah. I have a very stupid question to ask, and I just have to ask. The whole Porky Pig cartoon, did you ever feel negatively towards that, or was it just, meh?
Well, I don't know. It's funny. In terms of, you know, a quote-unquote type of stuttering, Porky Pig was always closest to how I actually stuttered, you know, repeating words and phrases and things like that. And so I guess that was always a, I never really consciously thought about it too much, but it was never anything that outwardly offended me or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a very interesting depiction of stuttering. And
it's weird, isn't it, that there was never, like, for me actually, I mean I cannot speak for everybody, but I never really thought of it about Porky Pig stuttering. Like the only times would be when the kids in elementary school would tease about it, but really I never did. I was just wondering if it's something, you know, unique to me or yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I ever really thought about it that much. I didn't start stuttering until middle school, so I never really had the. I started stuttering when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and so I never really had that sort of elementary school phase of being teased a lot or anything like that. I just had that sort of, you know, dealing with adolescent awkwardness plus, you know, puberty and stuttering and the whole nine yards, and so I got that whole. Yeah, so middle school is an interesting time, but
So what's it like to start stuttering in middle school? I grew up stuttering from day one, so I always think, you know, when I hear about people saying I started stuttering in high school, for example, I think, holy max, that must have been devastating, because you're at that age where image is everything, you know. Yes. Whereas at least when you're a kid, yeah, image is everything. But for a teenager to just start stuttering like that.
Well, it was a really weird experience because I started stuttering when I was like 11 or 12. And it was when my family actually moved from Virginia to Rhode Island. And I started school. I started at a brand new middle school the day after we moved to Rhode Island. So I was going to a brand new school, didn't know anybody, didn't know anything like that. And that was when I was really just first starting to stutter. And so it was very bizarre because obviously you're trying to make a good first impression and image is everything. And hang on a second, I'm trying to fix my. There we go. Anyways.
Video gone. Yeah. It's bad.
There we go. As I was saying, it definitely is this weird sort of experience where, you know, you're already going through the whole puberty thing and everything like that, and then you kind of start to wonder, okay, well, what exactly is going on here? Is this, and my parents and doctor are all kind of saying, oh, don't worry, it's, you know, this is just a phase, you just need to slow down and stuff like that. And, kind of, I don't know, sixth grade was a very sort of traumatic time, I guess. In terms of that, because that's the age when kids aren't doing the like elementary school teasing anymore, but it's more you develop that, like, you know, name as like, oh, you know, the stuttering kid or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was also difficult because I had an incredibly insensitive sixth grade teacher. Who actually, one thing that was difficult was the movie Billy Madison had come out a couple of years previous, and I've never seen it, but
neither have I, yeah.
Well, there's apparently There's apparently a shot in the movie where Adam Sandler's character makes fun of a kid with a stutter, where, you know,
Oh, that one. Sorry, I was thinking of a different. Yes, and stuttering kid. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Like I said, I've never actually seen it, but I know that there's either a part where someone is like stammering or stuttering or something like that, and Adam Sandler's character and Adam Sandler's character yells at him to, you know,
Oh,
to
to
today,
who?
Jude. And so my teacher was apparently
I
a big fan
remember
of this
that.
line and thought it would be funny at one point when I was stuttering trying to answer a question in class. He uses this line, and
Oh,
the whole
that's
class.
very insensitive. Sorry,
It
sorry.
was,
Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
yeah, it was awful. And you know, of course, you know, so of course the whole class is laughing at me and stuff like that. And I was just, and this was my first, you know, this is like my second week in a new state, in a new school, meeting new people. And I was just like, oh, it was bad.
So we're going to see an animated version of that teacher, and all the bad stuff happens, and it'll be nice, like vengeful.
Oh yeah, no, he was not he was not such a nice person. He actually got fired.
Oh,
He actually
good.
got fired at the end of the year for similar encounters with other students. So
Wow.
I've had conversation with some people, you know, kind of the whole discussion of starting stuttering later in life versus stuttering, you know,
Oh, yeah.
from a very early childhood. And I think it does kind of subconsciously result in feeling more shame about stuttering when you start stuttering later on, just because it's something that kind of pops up and you feel like it's something you're doing wrong.
Okay.
And so I always did feel, I always had kind of a I always had kind of this weird stigma about the whole thing, and I always tried very, very hard to not, you know, to not stutter, and it always really, really threw me off, really messed up my day whenever I would.
Yeah.
It's only then I kind of had a curveball thrown at me in like the last year or two. My stutter suddenly started getting a lot worse, or well, not a lot worse, but a lot more difficult to maintain, I guess would be the proper term. And as such, I kind of realized I needed to do something about it, and really kind of stop trying to hide it and more tackle it head on or something like that. So it's been a experience with a lot of curves and twists. I'm not really sure what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah. So how are you now with your stuttering?
Not bad. Things are, I can keep things under control most times. And in the time, well, I find the one area where I do run into problems is in large crowds or in situations where I'm trying to very quickly explain something. That's really difficult. And then the one area that always trips me up is when I'm trying to tell someone a story or something I heard, like, you know, sort of
Oh, yeah.
recalling it or something like that. That's awful. That just takes me forever. But I don't know. It's funny to just kind of see how it's evolved over time, because it used to be whenever I was trying to get someone's, it used to be whenever I was trying to start a sentence, or whenever I was trying to, you know, talk to a whole bunch of people at once. You know, that's when I kind of go into a loop, or sometimes the one that was always hardest for me to kind of keep a handle on was, I used to, when I was in the middle of saying something, I would get caught on, you know, like three or four words, and I would just keep repeating those over and over again, but I wouldn't be aware that I was repeating them. I would be think I would
Oh.
think I was st I would think I was still talking and going through the sentence. It was only when I would notice the people looking confused that I'd realize I'd been repeating, you know, I'd been repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And
Really?
yeah, so that thankfully hasn't been as much of an issue lately. And I don't know why that is, but that was definitely me.
Yeah, stuttering is a very mysterious thing. Like for me, recording, I don't stutter as much.
Interesting.
Then I shut the recorder off and I'm stuttering. So I keep getting messages saying, "I don't hear you stutter." It drives me nuts because it's like,
Now, in those headphones, are you? Are you using those as a monitor and hearing your own voice right now?
No, I have a very basic setup. It's just you know how when you use Skype, you're supposed to wear headphones so the other person doesn't hear you. It's that. This is just so I can hear you. I don't hear myself. However, funny that you mentioned that. When I was recording, I had recorded a promo for a radio station. Long story short, there's this podcast that is called the Listener's Choice Podcast for CBC Radio, where listeners request repeats of shows. So if they can't repeat it on the air, they'll repeat it in podcast form, and they ask the listeners to, excuse me, to record intros. So I asked, can I come into the studio? Because it's close by. So I was, and so they have you wear headphones and you hear yourself, so I didn't stutter. And because what I was requesting was a stuttering documentary, it was fitting that I would stutter as much as possible, and it wasn't happening.
That's it. So when you are hearing yourself speak, then it lessens the amount of your stuttering.
Yes, to a certain extent, and I think that's the principles behind the speakeasy, that you're speaking in chorus. However, speakeasy has your voice played back in a higher pitch. There's also an iPhone app. I forget the name. I think it's called iSpeak, where it's the same
Interesting.
thing. And this one, you can adjust the rate that your voice, like the pitch. So you could be like this, or you could be like this. And it's extremely creepy. So, but I digress. Yeah.
Well, see, the thing I find fascinating about that is if I've had some experiences where I've been doing either dialogue recording or something like that in a recording booth, and if I'm hearing myself speaking at the same time that I'm speaking, then I can't get anywhere. I literally stall on every single word, and it actually was so bad at one point. I was recording some dialogue for a friend's film. And I actually had to request. I actually had to do it without the monitor on, just because I couldn't even get past, 2 words.
Wow, that reminds me. There was a time, there were a few times, if I'd be on the phone with someone at a club, a really loud place. So I have the phone in one ear and I'm, covering my ear with the other hand, and you kind of hear yourself muffled. I can't speak like that. I tend to stutter more, even though I could still hear myself. So I don't know what the difference is between the two scenarios. Weird, eh?
That's interesting. That is weird.
Yeah.
Well, I know a recent discovery I've found with as far as the phone goes is obviously there are a lot of things to talking about, a lot of talk about loosening like upper body tension when speaking and stuff like that. And I found that if I'm using a hands-free headset for talking on the phone, it makes things a
Oh.
lot easier because I'm starting more even now, even as I'm
Because
talking.
you're doing the gestures.
Because when you're on a because we're on a little tiny cell phone, you've got it up against your ear and
Like that,
you're all
huh?
foiled up and everything like that. And so I found that using a hands-free headset makes things a lot easier because, well, I mean, maybe it's just my Italian background, but I just, need to talk with my hands.
Me too. Yeah. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but since we're both stutterers, so I hope it's okay. I'm noticing your secondaries.
I've got some pretty obvious ones. Obviously the weird ear rub. I don't know where that one came from, but I found that one and it kind of loosens things up.
Really?
And
Yeah. The reason that I brought up, because one, I find secondaries interesting, so there's no ne negativity from that question. Because they're all different from everybody. And the other, when I was a kid, there were times that I had, that, sorry, sorry, there was a fine line that I've noticed with myself that a secondary was either just a habit that I formed and it became a secondary. So a separate habit from stuttering that I formed that became a secondary, and then I just stopped. Do you find that with some of yours?
Well, I find that I find that there are definitely ones that I think are just habitual. Like I know a big one that's habitual for me is kind of a lot of hand motions. You know, that you know, doing things like rubbing at the base of my neck or things like that.
Like now?
Exactly. I find that those are more just habitual, but then I find that there definitely are other ones that sort of, as I said, I build up a lot of tension when I'm stuttering, particularly in my neck and shoulder region. And so I find that certain other gestures are actually, I think, almost subconscious ways of trying to loosen up tension just because it gets really uncomfortable.
Oh, wow. Do you have a website that people could check out your work?
My website is
one more question I wanted to ask. Yes, that's what it was. Your YouTube channel. Did you ever have reservations of doing a YouTube channel?
No. It's funny. That was something I started doing. I'm not even really sure how that whole thing started, but it was. but for whatever reason, I always felt more comfortable and at ease when I was doing that, and I kind of liked that feeling of. I liked that feeling of speaking easily, or whatever. I'm not even really sure where that whole thing came from, but it is definitely a. Yeah, it's definitely random.
good. So back to my previous question. Do you have a web space, a website somewhere where people could reach you or see your artworks and such?
Yes, I have a portfolio website up at www.ericstirpe.com, spelled ericstirpe. And again, .com. And that's got my animation, illustration, and some other work up on there, too.
Back when I was in taking animation stuff in school, I always had the hardest time saying animation without stuttering. And it would be a spectacular stutter. Do you have the same problem?
Animation has never been a terribly hard one for me to say. Possibly if I was trying to start a sentence with it, I think that might be an issue. But if it's right in the middle of a sentence, the A sound's never been such a hard. The A one's never been one I've struggled with as much as say E or I.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you for coming on, and I wish you all the best in 2010.
yeah, you too. have a great start to the new year.
Great. Thank you.
All right. It was good talking with you, Danny.
And that was my interview with aspiring animator and hat enthusiast, Eric Stirpe. And this is Stuttering is Cool, which is an open mic podcast. That means I want to receive audio from you. Just record. Any sound file, record yourself. You can stutter as much as you need to, as much as you like. You can even practice your speech tools if you like, and you record a sound file. Could be an MP3, could be anything else, and email it to coolstutter@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can leave a voice message at 1-206-339-0389. You have up to 5 minutes, and I will play it on the next show, just like the following two that I received way back in 2009.
Hey there, mate. It's Ozzy speaking here from Manchester in the United Kingdom. Just dropping you a line to say hi. I've got a stutter that basically started when I was about probably say about 14, 15 years old. I'd always had a minor stutter before that, but I think due to getting into the teenage years, I started noticing it a lot more, and it became a lot more prominent within myself. And basically I've had a stutter now from the age of 15, 16 up to 28, which I am right now. You know, I'm sure all your listeners know it can be difficult living with a stutter, but you know, we all get by, you know, we all manage to communicate quite effectively. That's really all I've got to say at the moment. Can't really think when I'm on live record, but just to drop me a line. So take care. Cheers.
Hey, Danny. This is Pam, also known as Stutter Rockstar, checking in with you and your listeners today to share a little bit about some of the workshops that I've been involved with recently. As you know, I've had the opportunity to really be able to teach and educate and raise awareness by getting involved in two really neat training opportunities over the last month. The first one was I was invited to be a co-facilitator with the Capital Area Speech Hearing Association here in Albany, New York. It was their annual fall conference, and the professional SLPs that belong to that chapter were looking for continuing education credits or units. And they specifically asked if they could get training on stuttering. So myself and two other people who stutter, who also happen to be practicing SLPs, were asked to deliver a six-hour training. And I was really, really excited and happy to be a part of this because I'm not an SLP. I just happen to be a regular, ordinary person who stutters, and to know that my personal experience and my insights and my thoughts about stuttering has value to other people, that's incredibly empowering, and I'm just really glad that I had the opportunity to do that. Joe and Steve covered therapy approaches for preschool and school-age children. And in my section, I covered adult considerations, adult needs, some of the things that I've learned myself from participating in therapy as an adult. And I also got the chance to talk about covert stuttering, what that means and what type of an impact that can have on a person who stutters life. And I really wanted to be sure that the professional SLPs in attendance that day really understood that stuttering is so much more than stuttering. It's the emotional baggage that we carry around that is so much more challenging for us to deal with. So I spent some time talking about the iceberg analogy of stuttering, which originated from one of the pioneers in the field, Joseph Sheehan, and was adapted by one of the NSA veterans, Russ Hicks. And I talked about that only 10% of stuttering is what we hear or see, and what is above the surface. And the other 90% of stuttering is all the hidden stuff, the garbage, the stuff that can drag us down if we're not coping with that as well. And I also got the exciting opportunity to share with the audience about the tiger analogy, which Danny, you've highlighted here on your podcast, and you've also created the website tiger.org, and I got to talk about how important it is to embrace our stuttering, own our stuttering, and tame the tiger, so to speak. And good friend Greg was kind enough to do a video clip for me, which I included as part of the training, and he spoke to us about where he came up with the idea for the tiger analogy, what it has meant to him, and again, why it's so important for people that work with people who stutter to understand that the emotional part is so much more significant than the actual physical manifestations of stuttering. I also had the chance a couple weeks ago to travel to Syracuse, New York, and help out with a National Stuttering Association one-day youth event where good friend Joe and myself co-facilitated. Sorry, you can hear my Twitter in the background. Where Joe and I co-facilitated a really powerful and emotional workshop to parents and SLP students and practicing SLPs on the whole idea of acceptance, and that parents of kids who stutter really can gain so much and improve their child's life if they get away from the "I need to fix my child" mode more towards acceptance, and that it's okay to stutter, and let's work on managing our stuttering and communicating fully. So we were able to do that, and we talked a little bit about the emotions of stuttering. We had the parents actually rate where they thought their kids were based on strengths rather than weaknesses, which for many of the parents there, it was the first time that they had looked at their child stuttering from a strength perspective rather than what's wrong with my kid. And we also had the parents try voluntary stuttering, and we passed out the Chinese finger traps so they could feel what it feels like to block. And that's where some of the emotions kicked in with the parents. I saw some moms break down and get choked up and emotional with each other, and even a dad, but people were commenting, "Wow, this was the first time that I've really felt what it's like when my child stutters," and it was really emotional and overwhelming for them. Also, some of the parents, it was their first experience with self-help and group support. And that was huge for some of these folks to realize that they weren't alone, and that their children were okay and would have normal, productive lives. And again, that was just like so special to be part of that. So just wanted to share this with good friend Danny and the listeners here at Stuttering is Cool, and to just encourage you, if you get the chance, if you're a person who stutters, if you get the chance to share your own personal journey with other people who stutter, or parents or children or teens, or with SLPs, do it. It makes such a huge difference. Just what our perspective and our insights and our thoughts are really powerful and can really make an impact. And just by sharing who we are with each other can change lives. And I've been a part of that, and my life has been enriched by being able to do that. So that's it for now. Thanks, Danny, as always, for allowing me to share my experiences. And I think it's important that we all realize that, yeah, stuttering is cool and stuttering rocks. See you later.